from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We are bringing in Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst and the author of most recently The Constitution of the United States and Other Patriotic Documents. Greg, happy Easter. Thanks for doing this. Give us a rundown. Fannie Willis, what's happening with her? The Trump defendants and others are going after her. That I don't think that story is quite over yet. Is she going to make it?
Well, that's up on appeal, and she shouldn't make it because the judgment of Judge McAfee that she and her lover both committed the same impropriety that requires disqualification, but only one has to leave and the other gets to stay on, makes no sense. I mean, it's completely illogical. And so, you know, this is a case in which Willis, through her own hubris and political motivations, brought a case that, you know, I think is a major stretch. And, of course, Trump has a viable First Amendment argument that his lawyers made a couple of days ago in court, that his public and private statements are court-protected speech. That's a violation, Larry, of his constitutional rights for prosecutors to criminalize what is otherwise political expression, even if it's mistaken belief. You know, being wrong is not a crime. If Trump was convinced that there was election fraud and faulty vote counting, well, he's allowed to say that out loud. And he's allowed to encourage legal challenges, including the counting of electors on January 6th. Hillary Clinton did the same thing. She disputed the 2016 election, claimed it was stolen, Trump was illegitimate. She encouraged Democrats to challenge electors on January 6, 2017. Why? Well, because it's lawful under the Electoral Count Act. So Democrats do it, and it's perfectly okay. It's legal. But somehow, when Trump does it, it's criminal. I find that hard to believe. It's a glaring double standard. I think, Larry, that's why so many Americans see Donald Trump as a victim of politically motivated indictments.
Well, Fannie didn't exactly stand by her man. Kind of threw him under the bus. Well, here it is. We'll play it. Here comes a little... That's become our theme song, Loretta Lynn, Stand By Your Man. So that story's not over yet. Greg, let's come back to New York. I'm sorry, but we have to. So Mr. Trump got a break on the fine he has to pay, I guess, $175 million instead of $500 million. Of course, he's got a loaded war chest now, thankfully, because his Truth Social stock offering did so well. But two things. Number one, there's still an appeal in the New York State court system. And number two, there's still the excess fine clause of the Eighth Amendment. So I just wondered what you're thinking there.
Yeah, this was a case that should never have been brought. And it was a violation of ethics for for Letitia James to do that. She campaigned on the promise to get Trump before she ever had access to evidence or files of any wrongdoing. And she basically charged him for doing, as the New York Post today points out, doing what everybody else in the industry does every day. And even the judge admitted no one was harmed, yet somehow Trump is owing $454 million, you know, in a consumer protection case in which no consumer was actually injured, a fraud case in which all of the banks that loaned the money said we weren't defrauded. We made bucket loads of money. We want to do more business with Donald Trump. So, I mean, that's a case that I don't see surviving a judicial scrutiny from a higher court. And, you know, we've already gotten some indication of that from the appellate division that knocked down the appeal bond to $175 million, which Trump can handle in cash.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Yeah, which still I think is unfair. I mean, right? It's
oh, it is.
That's an excess fine. I mean, I keep bringing up the Eighth Amendment. I don't know whether they'll go there or not after it winds its way through the New York system. But the whole thing is unfair. The whole thing is election interference.
And you're right to point out the Eighth Amendment prohibition on excessive fines. I mean, this was an important right that the framers of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights specifically wrote because they had experienced the same thing from the British that was putting colonists out of business with excessive fines. And they want to make sure that their newly constituted government didn't do the same thing to its citizens. And yet that's exactly what's happening now. I mean, it is an obscene fine in which, again, nobody was harmed.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, when she made a decision in Indiana about this, $40,000 car, that's all it was. Anyway, she cited the Magna Carta, 1215 AD at Runnymede. She cited, and I was there, Greg. I remember this.
I know you were.
What about Jack Smith? All he wants to do is expedite and accelerate these court cases. Where does all that stuff stand?
Well, the immunity claim, which is now before the Supreme Court, has effectively put a halt to his J6 case in Washington, D.C. And if the high court rewrites the civil immunity to extend it to criminal immunity, which I think is what they're going to do, that's going to make it impossible for Jack Smith to bring that case in Washington, D.C. before the election. And you also have a companion case, which would knock out two of the other obstruction charges against Trump. That's being considered separately by the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think they're going to knock that down to size. And so, you know, that case, in my judgment, will never see the light of day this year.
So you don't think they'll go back? You don't think they'll go to trial in that case?
No, and you know, it looks like the only one that's going to go to trial is the Alvin Bragg case, a state court case in New York, in which he still hasn't identified the underlying crime that Trump supposedly committed. You know, it can't be campaign finance. Because that's federal. And, you know, Bragg is a local DA. He's not authorized to bring a federal case. So what he's really doing is playing hide the crime. But regardless, the payment to Stormy Daniels was not an illegal campaign donation. Federal Election Commission said it's not. Federal prosecutors agreed and said no crime here, mainly because payments in exchange for silence are perfectly legal, quite common. And, of course, Bragg's star witness is Michael Cohen, a notorious liar who told so many whoppers he was shipped off to the Hooskow on perjury convictions.
I mean, even Cy Vance was the prior district attorney in Manhattan County, and he looked at that case six different ways and said, no, we can't do it. So here's this guy Bragg doing it. It's a George Soros-elected prosecutor. It's insanity. So I guess what I'm angling for is, people on the left think Trump's going to spend all his time in court, but that may not be the case.
Well, that's true. You have to be there as a defendant in a criminal case. But if the criminal case doesn't take place because of appeals and delays, then, you know, he may not be saddled with, you know, court presence every day, the way Democrats were planning this. You know, Democrats are their own worst enemies here, and Joe Biden in particular. I mean, remember, he is the guy who said to all of his aides, leaked it immediately to the New York Times, I want Trump prosecuted. Yeah. And, of course, Merrick Garland immediately took his marching orders from that.
Yeah, boy, that is really something. Anyway, Greg Jarrett, thank you. Happy Easter. We appreciate the rundown very much. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and then the great Kevin Hassett, my dear friend, former chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, he's going to come. We're going to talk about potential tax cuts in a Trump administration. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow.